Ah,
Not
man,
many people.
bipolar
Woo-hoo!
disorder sucks.
It does, and it presents in so many different ways.
Yeah.
What was the disorder? I missed it.
Bipolar.
Bipolar. I believe
I'm
number
sorry.
Two. There's two kinds of bipolar.
The sequel.
What are the two?
There's one for fat people, and then there's one where you genetically get it.
Ah, but you had it when you were a kid. We also discussed how there's two types of herpes on this show, too. So we're hitting all the medical...
Is it kind you tell people about?
Cool one. Like, kind of find out about.
Everybody, welcome. Is this anything? We're
type
doing
one.
An episode, type one, with special guest Radu Bandar.
Hey. Bandar!
No, you can pronounce my last name any way you want it.
All right, but
we were just working on the road with John Bander, and then my last name is Radu Bandar. So whenever we checked into hotels,
Bandar,
they're like, fuck you.
That's true, and you guys would have to be in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Bandar. All right, I'm trying to fix this part of my brain where I have trouble pronouncing things correctly, so... Bandar.
You know what, people? Yeah, I hate when people with foreign names are like extra, like, no, it's Patrikut, whatever. You're like, it's not anglicized. You realize English is the dumbest language. We make noises that other cultures don't even use with their mouth. And you're like, no, it's Park Chu. The fuck, I just say the thing. I know I'm talking to you.
We've covered a similar topic on this show as well. We almost extensively, we're talking about like pronouncing other countries with our American accents.
Yeah.
And we're just like, that's what we call it. It's not, I'm not trying to be rude. It's just, you know, we're already bastardizing
Pakistan.
It because it's yeah, Pakistan. We call it Pakistan a lot, you know? And I was like, me saying Iraq in your mind correctly is just me doing a bad Middle Eastern accent impression. That's what that ultimately.
Yeah, it's actually racist.
If anything, we all, you know, those people when you're like, you're speaking just regular English, but then you really go out of your way to enunciate everything. You're like, all right, Obama, fucking relax. Okay. We get it.
What I will do though is, and I did this quite a bit, you know, like when I was traveling and stuff, and I never felt weird about it, even though I think other people would think it's weird, is like, if somebody has a very thick accent and English is definitely not their first language and they're struggling with it too, and they have such a thick accent, I think it's ruder for me to repeat the words back to them in my accent than it is to repeat the words back to them in their accent. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm looking for, you know, the bathroom, they're like, oh, bathroom. If I were like, you mean bathroom? Like, I think that's dumb. I think that's like weird to do. I should... at the very least split the difference so that he hears what he's trying to say. I don't recognize what he's saying very well. He wouldn't probably recognize what I'm saying very well. So
no,
I should move in that direction.
I'll push against that because
really?
when I'm having trouble understanding you, if it's repeated a few times, this is a scenario that I'm looking at where I'm like, bathroom. Then I think just because you hear the word correctly, and you don't say it the exact same way, you will still recognize the correct pronunciation to be like, yes, 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 bathroom. And that's always been my experience where I'm like, oh, bathroom. They're like, yes, bathroom, like immediately. So they know what the correct word is. And it's just for me, I'm just saying, did I get this correctly? Is that what you are saying? And then that way they can confirm it.
Yeah.
There's also...
And then I call them a fucking idiot.
You're correct in your sensibility to be like, it feels weird to correct people. But I'll tell you this, for someone who's been around people who are learning English, they're always happy to be corrected. No one's ever like, oh yeah, let me sound like an asshole forever. They always, they might not figure it out, you know?
Right. You know, it's so funny because now we're going to split hairs on this too. I actually don't think it's rude to correct people in certain ways. Like if it's grammatically incorrect, if they're dropping verbs or you know, articles or prepositions and stuff, you know, and I know the person to some degree, I might be like, you know, you're going to do a lot better here if you use the word in and at and stuff like that. But I'm talking about like, we are just trying to understand each other with this one word or phrase. To me, I'm like, I don't know if we get, I mean, I see what you're saying, Brett, and I've experienced that too. I was like, I don't know if we're getting closer by me just saying my.
So if he were saying bathroom and you're like, what bathroom? And then you were to go, oh, bathroom. It would sound like you were patronizing him.
That
in my
is
opinion.
What I think that a third party would think. But having been in the process, I go, you know what? I'm changing my mind. I don't think that's weird. I don't think that's patronizing to him.
That's how I'm pronouncing it from now on.
I would say conversely, my thinking on this, just based on listening to everybody's different take, is that there's a rude way to interpret both ways, and so we're fucked either way. Because I say it my way after you said it your way, it sounds like I'm telling you, no, the correct version is my way, please.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this. Non-English speakers, they never get tripped up on pronunciation. They get tripped on how many different words there are for the same word. Like, my mom would always be like, where's the bathroom? And they're like, oh, the restroom's over there. And then she would just stare and be like, I don't need to rest. I need to shit.
Why are you saying this? Well, the shitter's actually back then.
Guys, we got to talk about stuff. We got to talk about things. I haven't seen Rob in forever. We just got back from tour.
We are talking about things. We've been talking about this stuff this whole time.
We're talking about dumb mispronunciations and shit. Like, I don't give a shit about that.
We're talking about something we want to talk about.
I want to know what's up with Rob. I want us to talk about what's up with us. I want to know what's up with Radu.
Bondar?
Let's take this natural conversation and turn it into a forced one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit. This is what, if I had no qualms about being rude, this is how I would treat every conversation. That's dumb. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about this.
And Jared's like, we know the weather. So how's your father?
Exactly. I want to know what's up. And I want to tell you what's up. Oh my God.
No, Roger. This is me talking about my father and Jared saying, no, I want to talk about the weather. That's how I feel.
I disagree. Respectfully disagree. All right. So yeah,
all right,
Rob.
Jared, what do you want to tell us?
Yeah, why don't you just start off? You guys have a more exciting life than I've been. You've been on the road. You've been doing shows. I want to hear about
We've been on the road. This is, I forget how many times we've been on the road with Steve, both me and Brett, or just like me and Steve, just the two of us. This was, I think, the most grueling leg of tour I've ever done, where all these drives were massive. The tour bus, as I'm not sure if we've discussed on this show, is extremely uncomfortable unless you are in one place.
It's more like a boat than a bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've just, basically the entire run, I was exhausted, running on fumes, desperately trying to rest at any given moment. It was rough, man. It was rough. And now I feel like I feel like a bowl of jello right now, where today Kirsten was on her way. She's got her first day at her new job. We're very excited for her. And she was getting her makeup done and everything. And she's like, baby, can you steam my shirt for me? And I was like, no, I can't. I can't do that right now. Ugh, I'm a vegetable. That's up with me.
Lady and I slept like 10 hours when we got home.
Oh boy. I thought I was coming into the easiest tour yet because I was told so much like, oh man, thank God you're not joining in the lean time. Well, thank God, but there, so I was okay, just there, like, I can't there complain. Been,
there have been rougher tours in terms of like the show quality, the hotel quality, like the actually making money quality. and that has improved vastly. Since was probably on the roughest part of that when he first started touring.
Yeah, our drives weren't necessarily the worst, but when you show up to a show, Leedy, and like you're showing up to a theater and everyone's like, oh, like, welcome, how can we help you? Versus showing up to some restaurant, some crab shack, and they're like, who are you?
Oh, yeah. Well Leedy got a little taste of that.
Yeah, I did get a bit of that too. And something new for me that I had never gotten before is I had the people who would go like, and so you here, little girl, you're somebody's girlfriend. And the problem was I can't say no because it's crap.
But I am, sure.
I am.
I mean, yes, but that's not why I'm here. So I was part of this before that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I got some misogyny for the first time in the artistic world, which was new for me. But
she's used to just already. Outside of the artistic world. Sorry, what did you say, Radu?
I apologize already. We got to bring that up again.
Yeah, Radu, she told us. That was fucked up, man.
I thought she was a different broad.
He was a lot cooler once I told her him she was my girlfriend.
Oh, okay. So because of a man, I have to respect this woman now. Okay, gotcha. Understood.
Command.
Bro code.
So we had a weird flight back. Instead of flying 2 hours to LaGuardia and then taking an Uber home, we flew 2 hours to Atlanta and then flew 2 hours after a long layover to Newark. Because I had told Steve I prefer to fly into Newark. It's easier to get to my apartment, Jersey City. But I hadn't checked in like, oh, there's a no reason for me to go nonstop from Chicago to New York, New Jersey. Mm.
Oh, man.
And so we were pretty exhausted. I had a rough night's sleep the nights before. Leedy is like, great. She's so proactive. Like, as soon as we get our bags and stuff, she's already got the Uber called up. I'm like, great, awesome, thanks. And she's like, is this your address? And I'm like, yep, that's the one. Boom, she orders the Uber, we're ready to go, can't wait to get home, so tired. And then just as we are nearing, it's like a minute away, I'm like, this is a weird route, I'm not really paying attention because I'm exhausted. And the lady pulls over on the side of the road, and I'm like, hey, uh-huh, did you put in Jersey City for this address? And the Uber driver is basically like, well, you have to call another fare, you can't stay here. And I'm like, okay. So we get out and I'm like, I'm going to figure out where we are. But we need to call an Uber to Jersey City immediately.
You're in Chicago.
Wait.
Here's the order.
You put in 555 Brett's house, Jersey City, right? No, I put in 555 Brett's house, Iraq. Oh no.
Well, no, but here is the order of impoverished and danger for oranges in New Jersey. It goes South Orange, nicest, West Orange, next nicest, Orange, a lot of bad neighborhoods, some nice parts, East Orange, don't go there. We were in East Orange. We have an extra bag that we checked and all this luggage, and we're just like, hello. There's like two cars parked just with their lights on, just like idling, which is just like uncomfortable. And I'm like, Lady's like, sorry. And I'm like, it's okay as long as we don't get robbed.
You got Tor cash bursting out of your pockets.
Oh no.
People aren't even looking at that. They're like, damn, that's a nice bracelet. Come off those soon, huh?
And then 45 minutes into the good Uber on our way back to Jersey City, Brett goes like this. He goes, babe. And I think he's going to be really romantic. And he goes, you fucked up.
Oh, yeah. We also hit like an extra hour of traffic from where we were coming now. And we were just so exhausted. And I was like, hey, you really fucked this up. But I was laughing about it.
I mean, I would say that that's Brett's fault because she showed you the thing. She showed
you.
No, she was like,
she did not show me.
Oh, beep at that address again, Rob. Well, that's very different than my commute, which was very easy. Steve forgot to buy my ticket back, so I could have just as easily been on the same flight as these two ding dongs. But we were on, I think we were about a week left on the road, and I was just like going through my emails and I was like, I don't see a return flight. So I told Steve, and he's like, oh, looks like I bought a return ticket for everybody except for you. And he's like, where would you like to fly into? And I was like, JFK number one, LaGuardia number two, Newark number three. And he goes, oh, I got a LaGuardia leaving at 10 a.m. direct flight. And I was like, great, sounds good. So we left around the same time, but I got home hours earlier.
Yeah. Like what time did you get home?
5 hours. Probably like 2:30, something like that.
Wow. Yeah. You got home six and a half hours before us.
And that you guys were not even in Atlanta at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so that's what's going on with us. And Radu, what's going on with you, man?
Sorry that you guys had to go through that.
Oh no, it was great.
I did a little bit of tour before Jarrett, just a couple dates with Brett and Steve.
That's right.
Great.
They were all in Texas, so my routing is not I just get a ride back from another criminal. But it was so fun to see, because you know when I started working with Steve, it was a lot of the hotels, bowling alleys, whatever, restaurant stuff with some cool things mixed in to make it, you know, and they're all good shows. But now I was noticing, I was like, there's generally two tiers of headliner, guys that play the Muskegon Bowling Alley and guys that play the Gramercy. And Steve is the only one I've ever seen that's like, we're keeping them both. I want every fucking place. That's what makes this routing so weird. You're like, I'm so happy to be at this huge theater in Dallas one day, but we got to fucking leave in the morning to play a burger joint in Texarkana.
Yeah, the other thing, Leedy, was hotels were, all these hotels were pretty much close to the venue. Hotels were sometimes like 40 minutes to an hour away from the hotel. So then you have to drive after the show. It's a whole thing.
Radu, I like how you said you just got to ride home with some other criminal as though they're like a separate criminal Uber, you know, or just like, you know, Lyft wallets. You know,
another comedian drove me. So, but I use those words interchangeably often.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. Yeah. That tracks. Yeah.
And then I had I just got off doing a weekend of shows. I was headlining my first comedy club. Well, I've headlined a club, but my first weekend.
Nice. Congratulations!
Hey. Yeah, it was. How was very it? Fun. It was a place called the Velveeta Room in Austin.
Ooh, I did the Velveeta Room. Part of the Out of Bounds Festival a bunch of years ago.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah, it's right there nestled next to Esther's Follies, and it's on 6th, so it's kind of, you know, it's right in the middle of shit, which is good and bad. Sold out a show. That one was really fun.
Hey. Dope. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And then the other ones, not sold out, but still, you know, fine, if anyone's asking. Fine. And, no, it's good. Usually you get a lot of 6th Street goons walking up. You know, they bark people into the room. But I guess because comedy's been on hiatus, and then Austin's had this recent bubble resurgence. It was just people that wanted to see comedy. Usually you have a lot of people who are like, we got kicked out of 6 bars. This one won't kick us out. Let's do it, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're like, ugh. But it was quite fun, and I got to bring some comics with me, made some money.
Oh, that's so good.
Nice. Laundered some money. So it's good. It's everything you want.
Cash business.
They're like, hey, we're going to pay you $800 for the weekend. And you're like, okay, I'm going to pay you back $800. And then I'm pay you another $800 again.
That's very similar to that. It's very
Did you make
anxiety.
That out to Radu's fish store? it's just a tax thing. It's just a tax thing. Don't worry about it.
It's very anxiety inducing to be a non-draw and just think, you know, constantly you're like, oh, there's gonna be 17 seats and I'm gonna hate all of them, and then I gotta sell merch and try to shake everyone's hand. And so it's definitely not something until I have a following, if ever, probably not, but that I'd want to do very consistently. It's like a fun thing every few months,
right?
But otherwise, you know, I would just
roll in the headliner dice.
Yeah, because sometimes it's great. Look, you got to get those reps early. And I think if this was right before the pandemic, when I was doing just comedy consistently and every day as much as I wanted to, I wouldn't overthink it. I'm like, these are just more shows, more money, whatever. But with a little bit of space away from everything, you're like, oh, now I feel responsible for the people coming. They're paying money. Mm-hmm. My name's on a thing. There's a certain whatever. And I'm sure I would have gotten there at some point. But the depth and the distance away from comedy really galvanized a lot of feelings about it for me. And, you know, it's got to be special. And sometimes I feel like comedy, most of the time, comedy's not special anymore. Just because of the nature of it. You got to make money. It's a business, you know?
Right.
But it's nice to be able to do that whenever you can.
How did you feel on stage? I know you've headlined before, but, you know, maybe was there something different? Was it 3 shows? Was it a Friday, Saturday, Saturday?
Just 3 shows, yeah. One Friday, 2 Saturday.
Nice.
Man, the Friday show, which was it's mostly my crowd, like a few people that know me from comedy, some friends and whatnot. It's not a big room. It's like a 75-seater. But I was killing for like 18 minutes. And then some heckler lady derailed me. But not like I was like, hey, will you shut up? Not just for the show, like forever. And the crowd pulled back just a teensy bit. But in my mind, I was like, oh, no, I lost them forever.
Because
I thought I thought I did go too hard or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they pulled back. But everyone in the audience was like, no, you just got in your head or something.
That's funny.
But it was
she's
very
never
funny.
Speak again for the rest of her life. Why her?
I was like, oh, they think it's a misogyny thing. I'm like, I don't care about her gender. It's just by a person yapping, you know. But yeah, it was such a funny distinction. I was like, I am crushed. I can do no wrong. And then after the 18 minute mark, I was like, I've done a lot of wrong here. And then the other 2 shows, much more loose, because you have the, you know, mental breakdown of like, God, I fucked up the sold out show. So you find the catharsis later, and mm-hmm, then the second two shows don't matter up here essentially, and of course those are the much better ones. And my wife watched all three because she has insane patience or something. And she was like, "Yeah, the next two were leaps and bounds better." Right. I was like, "Good, that's good that the sold out crowd got the shitty one."
Are you from the Austin area?
No, I'm from Houston. That's where I am right now. Okay. I spend a lot of time up there because the Austin comedy scene is very good. It's been way before all this hoopla that's going on now. It's always been very renowned. And the Houston comedy scene has not. It's one of the worst places to do comedy, which makes it funny, actually, to be here constantly. But especially anyone who's good at comedy here is constantly driving to Austin and Dallas.
Okay.
Because Dallas has like 9 clubs, and Austin has all the alt scene and Cap City and Moon Tower.
Mm.
Right.
Well, I hope that you made some new fans, doing this headlining weekend, right?
I did, probably like 7. They were all awful people. That's my demo,
How many do you think you lost in that first show?
Probably a couple lifelong friends that won't speak to me. the abortion joke I do, Brett? Sorry to get inside.
Yes, I do.
Here. Did not realize how much worse that would do with my not only my wife in the room, but all of my wife's friends in the room. It's a joke where I pretend my wife kept putting off an abortion, and she didn't do it, but then she miscarried, so woo,
That's good. But that's standard fare in Texas now. That's what you...
Well, that's the whole... Yeah, the point was I was trying to lead up to the thing talking about that. But the whole audience just went, ooh, and then looked back at her.
Yeah, right.
That's fun in comedy, too. Not the whole audience, the 20 people that knew she existed.
Right.
I love the idea that, millions of women have abortion on their to-do list, and then when that Texas law happened, they're like, I gotta do that.
It's like a source for comedy, but to get not too serious, the reason that third trimester abortions exist is specifically because of that. Is for people, generally women, in either impoverished communities, or let's say you live in central Texas and you're 7 hours away from a clinic that can provide you the services, and you don't have a car, and you're maybe a migrant. There's many situations like that where people are like, I couldn't get there till like the 6th or 7th month or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
But it is funny to just be like, I'll do it late. I'm killing this kid anyway. What does it matter when it's huge?
Before we get off of these tour stories and everything, I have something I want to show you guys. So give me a second. I got to go grab it real quick. All right. I'll be right back.
Can I ask Rob a question in the meantime?
All right.
Is it something that I'm going to want to be a part of?
I mean, no.
Tell me what the question is, and I'll let you know if you can ask Rob.
All right, cool.
Wait, first of all, Rob, do you have something to actually share?
I don't want to know what the question is.
Hey, come back.
Ask him when I go out there, because we're in the same place.
Do you actually have something to share, or can I ask you a question to spur something?
Oh, good question. I have something I can share. It has to. You guys made me realize that I can tell a story about a show that I did.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Please do. Which is, as you know, the way I like conversations to go. I like going, this is related, and I can tell a story. You know.
Everybody laugh when Jared puts his headphones in.
Oh, boy.
That was a great time.
Joke's on you, idiots. I could hear Rob talking because he's in my apartment right now.
Yeah, but when you close the door, he said something hilarious.
Your bit didn't work, you guys. Bit canceled.
Bit canceled.
Foiled. Coined.
Oh, boy. Jared canceling things. He is in heaven right now.
This is my calling, guys. But yeah, so Rob, you were saying that listening to us talk made you realize that you had something for the catch up?
Yes, exactly. You made me think of something else too, but I'll leave that for another never, maybe never. Okay, so you guys talked about some shows. I actually got to do my first show, my first terrible show in a long time.
Ooh.
It was really cool, because I went back to comedy. The first 10 shows I did were on the road with Steve and Jared, and it was just awesome, like cover to cover, great shows. Then I went to Dubai for 10 days. I did 5 shows there, also very good shows. And so, I was like 15 for 15. I'm like just good shows. I had avoided doing, you know, I wasn't doing shows during the pandemic. And so coming out, I was like, this is awesome. This is great. I get booked to do a one-nighter on Long Island. It's at the upstairs room of a pool hall. So I'm in a billiards hall. And I was like, okay, sure. And I am doing 30 minutes. And I don't think this has ever happened to me. This was pretty remarkable, where the first joke I told for sure, about half the audience was with me. And I was like, you know what? I can handle that. If only half the crowd's going to pay attention, the other half's going to do whatever they're doing. And then, like, the next joke I told, I lost about half of those who were paying attention.
Oh,
and
no.
Then the next joke after that, like, another half went away. And I was like, this is going to get bad pretty quickly. This keeps up. Until about maybe 8-9 minutes in, I told one joke and just quite literal silence, just real, like, you know, staring at me. I was like, what?
You only had one guy on the joke before, but now he's divided himself in half. It's just like his hand listening. It's like.
Now, when you say the rest aren't listening, like they're being talkative, rowdy, doing pool stuff, or they're just fucking ignoring you?
That's a great question. So it was a mixture of like, they would just engage in little private somethings to the point where I don't think that they were fully grasping what I was saying. And then a lot of the jokes were kind of building off each other. So anyone who wasn't paying attention to the first joke probably didn't really appreciate the second or the third or the fourth. Anyone who didn't really pay attention to the second and subsequently. So I was like, yeah, I was like, some of these are a little more subtle. I think you have to pay attention the whole time. Otherwise, you know, maybe you're just not going to, you can't just be checking in and out, which is what they more preferred. And I said, okay. Then until I got to one joke where literally nobody, and it wasn't like impolite, it wasn't rude, it wasn't whatever, they just were like, I'm not seeing that. And then I was like, eh, okay, one more. And then again, pure silence. I was like, this is unbelievable. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, what do you do, man? Just start talking. And then for like the next 20 minutes, I just fucking like shit on them and just like made fun. And they loved it. They're just like, yeah, we're the worst. We're stupid. Just pure masochists. They're such subs. That's what they are. They want to be. These Long Island crowds just want to be dominated, just mentally and emotionally.
Have you ever tried to do, you know, when I am in that situation, I try to do the joke that'll make everyone get quiet as soon as possible. Because I feel like quiet is a place I can build off of.
That's really funny.
Rather than like a flea market situation.
Right.
Wow, that's so funny.
That's
like
really
I would
funny.
Rather shock everyone to the point where they're like, I hate you. And I'm like, I'll build it back up, I promise. But we got to start off at silent.
That's great. I
hating me to you together means that you're all paying attention.
That's
now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, look what I made you do. I'm like the president of Iran.
That's great.
That means you're unified.
Yeah. I did pull that strategy.
Very recently, I thought that the audience would enjoy me shitting on them. Then I shat on them, and then they fucking hated it. They were like booing at me, and I was like, "Oh, all right, fuck you guys."
That's pretty amazing.
So what happened? How'd that go?
Was this the Holland, Michigan show?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I was still having a fun time, even though they hated me. But I just that show was terrible. The Holland, Michigan folks sucked. Half of them were lovely people, but a lot of them were just yelling out. Steve abandoned his set not even 10 minutes through and started just talking to them.
I have never seen this before where Steve just gives up on his show and it's just like, you people are animals. You were raised by wolves and now I'm just going to talk to you. That's it.
Yeah. To the point where Steve brought us up for the Q&A way early. And then I went to take the merch off the stage. He was like, I haven't pitched the merch yet. Because he had just like skipped the whole.
Wow.
It was, yeah. They were just really, really drunk and really
shouty,
yeah, very shouty.
Wait, people in rural Michigan were drunk.
Where did they even get it? That's great. Yeah, it's hard too because sometimes that doesn't take. I took that approach, Radu, where I knew instantly when I got up on stage I had to do something. I was in New Jersey, northern New Jersey. I was doing a firehouse gig, and the host goes up there, and these people are it's like a middle school cafeteria. Like there is no difference between the show started and the show hasn't started. Just it's like talking over two tables. There was one guy throwing popcorn. I was like, what is going on?
Jesus Christ.
He's just trying to do jokes or whatever. And then he bails. He's supposed to do 15 minutes, but on 7 minutes. And he's like, okay, well, you know, we have Rob Ryan here. So why don't we get to... I was like, oh, you piece of garbage. So I go up there. And I'm so mad at them so quickly. We're at a firehouse too. And I say, or I'm just telling you guys are the worst. You are, you have no idea how to behave in public. I fucking hate this town. You're all a bunch of firemen. I hope this whole town burns down while you're all here drunk. that line. They were like, oh, what did you say? And it was great because it was exactly that. It got really silent. I was like, all right, well, at least now we're shut up.
It is because if you don't know what you're doing, I've done this where I build that same exact tension. I shit on whatever. And then They're all, oh, now you got our attention. I'm like, so cum is weird, huh? Next thing ready.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking just now. I was like, you can't go, you know, like, you ever think about bees?
Yeah. You can't go into stock material right now. You still got to talk to them. You got to, it's a, maybe a 2 or 3 minute unwinding process.
Yeah. And that was so fun for me to do the other night because I recognized once I break that and just go into this, I was like, well, this is more or less the set now. And I can thread in jokes here and there. Exactly. No problem. Yeah. I'm not no problem, but like, I have to do it kind of deftly. Because and then it's just going to feel disjointed again. So I did a lot of talking to them. I'm listening. I'm making jokes where I can make jokes. I'm kind of making connections. It was great to like build up that crowd work muscle again. And I did it for like 20 minutes straight. And I've definitely bailed on bigger shows that were just like, oh, this is unbelievable. And I've just done 35, 40 minutes of like the similar crowd work where I'm just like, we have to make something fun happen. And it usually works out well because I'm like accurately pinpointing the problem with the crowd, which is like they don't want to pay attention in that way, to the point where this guy said this hilarious thing to me at the end of the show, and I was like, that is true, sir. He comes up to me and he's like, hey man, great show. He's like, you know, I think you were funnier than your material. And I was like, that is an indictment of you guys, but I thank you.
That's a real compliment in a way. I mean, it's misguided in its attempt, but it's very, you know, it's like almost like what you would say about Bob Hope. You know what I mean? You're like, you're just so charismatic. Whatever you're saying up there, who gives a shit? But like the way you said it, I'm so into it.
I took it as a pure, I was like, it's so much more of a higher compliment than you know, sir, because this crowd did suck. You guys suck, and I made something of it to the point where you thought I was very funny as a person. Yeah. And I know my material's good, but I couldn't even use it. I couldn't even use my best, you know, thing that I have in my toolkit to entertain you. And I just had to call an audible, and you still were like, that was good. I was like, great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's kind of like going to see a really... I don't know, maybe like to see Star Wars and be like, I didn't really care about the story or whatever, but the lightsabers, yeah, that was good. You should just do that. And then that guy goes and he watches The Phantom Menace and all the prequels. He's like, this is awesome.
I hate the whole moral aspect.
Me know, like, talk, talk, talk. Maybe swish, swish instead. Zoom, zoom, bang, bang.
Hey, y'all want to fuck one of those robots or are you just going to look at them?
We had a Q&A the last show in Chicago. Somebody asked about like our worst bombs, and I tried to do that thing where like you cockily respond like I've never bombed, you know, and that didn't get that big of a laugh. So then the joke became, oh, that was my bomb, but just then, you know.
Yeah, you said you went, what's a bomb? And then there was just silence, and you went, oh, that.
Yeah, never right now. But it got worse because after that, you know, we were like, okay, he was joking around, and we all told our bomb stories, you know, blah blah blah. And then later on in the merch line, someone came up to me and was like, you know, you made that joke about never bombing, but I was at your show in Modesto and you had that one joke about Yoko Ono. And I was like, what? Like, why would you do that? Why would you come up to me and tell it? You remember that one joke that you had that stunk that you were working on for a while? Don't think I forgot it, because I did not.
It's also funny because when you do have a rough show, you just like have to, it's hard to remind yourself. You need somebody else to remind you, like, hey, listen, nobody remembers the rough shows. They only remember when you kill. That's when they're going to remember you. Like the bomb stuff, you're the only one who remembers that.
That's funny.
But this woman came up to you. She's sure like, remembered. No, you had a good set, but I only remember the part where you fucked up.
Isn't it so funny how it's like the inverse for comedians? They're like, I'm good sets, but I saw a bomb one time that stuck with me forever, and that's how I think of you.
I'm curious because I have been able to get the room unified in hating me for a moment only to set up the next comic. I've never done it in like in the middle or the beginning of my set. I've done it because I'm like, listen, I'm going to do the best and then, you know, I'm going to try and win them over. If I can't, at least I can set up the next comic and I'll go, hey, everybody shut the fuck up. There's a performance going on. You're talking right now. If you want to talk, leave the showroom. If not, be respectful to the people who are listening and the people who are here performing and shut the fuck up. I know you guys don't hate me, don't like me, but there's some really good comics coming up next. So please listen to them, give them their due. And then they all fucking hate me because I yelled at them. Mm-hmm. And then some of them actually do leave and they quiet down. And then the next comic has a good set because people are paying attention and they're set up for it.
Yeah.
I've never been able to do that. I can't do that in the beginning of a set. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, and there's some really good comics coming up. Here's one right here. Okay.
Guys, listen, shut up. I know you don't like me, but I'm a good comic and you're going to like this if you just shut up. I used to work the door at Broadway Comedy Club in exchange for a spot like later on that week. But every once in a while, they would give me the spot that night. And it was so funny because I wasn't expecting it. And so I'm sitting people and they're like, can we sit over here? And I'm getting like a real attitude because I'm real fucked. Every time someone wants to go out of smoke, I have to get their ID to make sure they don't run out of their check. And I'm getting into fights with people at the door. And then all of a sudden, after yelling at everybody in the audience, they're like, hey, Jared, you want to do a spot? And I'm like, yes.
Hey.
Hey, do you remember me? The guy who was completely humorless about where you wanted to sit? So well, I have some jokes and I'm in a very vulnerable place. So I hope that you guys aren't mean about it.
That's so funny. They did. I was doing warm up for the Jeremy Kyle show, which is like a British version of Jerry Springer, and same deal where I thought I was just doing warm up for the TV show, and then they're like, oh, so we feed everybody beforehand and could just let them know when breakfast is over and that they have to sit down. And I was like, could you please get like a producer, someone to do that? Because I don't want to be the person who's like, put food down, everybody in the room. Yep, put no bagels in the room. And I'm like yelling at everybody to sit them down. And then 30 seconds later, I'm like, good morning, everybody. So stupid.
We got to get to the material, but that just reminded me of this other thing, like years and years and years ago.
Basically, what you're saying is
we gotta get some material. Once I'm done,
everybody stop talking about stuff other than the jokes, except for me.
You know what? I'll put a pin in that story.
We gotta get into that
for later. But I did want to show you guys one last thing. The entire time I was on the road with Steve, I was in talks with this company about getting digital download cards for my video special that I just filmed, and it was a nightmare because every single place I was just like, when are the cards coming? And I wouldn't hear from them. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, they'll be there Saturday. And then they weren't there on Saturday. So then I had to change the address and blah, blah, blah. But they finally came, everybody. Hey. Jared Bernstein, Off-White Wall. Available. Available now.
JaredBernstein.com.
You were not able to sell those on the road?
I was not able to sell those on the road because they literally just got here.
Oh, man. I feel like you're working really hard to get it for that. For this tour.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, it seems like it would have been, and there were so many people at those shows that you could have sold them to if you had them.
I feel like you probably missed out on like a lot of money. in a way to be.
In fact, I think I remember some people going, oh, I already have the book. Do you have anything else that you could sell me about your Kellyanne Conway book?
Yeah.
And then those albums would have been perfect.
Yeah. That would have been great. Wish I had had these bad boys.
Why didn't you make it in time for the tour?
I did everything that I was supposed to do, but this company that I used decided that they were not going to do that.
Oh, that's capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I got them now, and I'm excited about selling those once we get back on the road. And if anybody wants them, just hit me up.
Great. Or go to JaredBernstein.com.
JaredBernstein.com. Off White Wall, the filmed at home pandemic comedy special. All right. Are you guys ready to do some bits?
Ready, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Bits. All right, let me just bring up our order. Our order today is Brett, Jarrett, Radu, Rob.
Woo. All right.
Brett, Jarrett, Radu, Rob. Brett, Jarrett, Radu, Rob.
Okay. Farts are like beatboxing from your butt.
Didn't Socrates say that?
That's not my fart joke. This is my fart joke. All right, this is my other fart joke. Rob, really tip.
I want you to turn that butthole up.
Oh my gosh. Good fart joke.
Farts are like movie trailers for bowel movements.
Ah, nice.
Sometimes I have a fart, I'm like, that's going to be good.
You could also say,
that's great.
That's going to be scary.
That looks scary.
The only difference is when you look over at your girlfriend and you're like, do you want to see that? She's always like, no.
But I will hold like, your hand.
Like, do you want to see that? She's like, I don't like horror.
Or maybe some farts. She's like, I don't think anyone's going to like this. I don't think this is going to do well.
Sometimes you're like, how did this get made?
Who is in this?
I hate when farts give away the ending and you're just like, now I know exactly.
I know everything's gonna happen.
It was wet, it was gurgly. I know what's gonna happen.
Jeremy Piven's in it. He's a piece of shit.
Oh boy, that's gonna be a stinker.
These are great.
That's
dads.
It. I mean, I don't even think we can add to that joke. All right, I'll give you guys another one. This is an old one. Let's see if I can remember it. I think I've had both Jarrett and I think Rob in past have had you both try to work on it with me. Never could quite find how to get it to work.
The thing about farts is
okay.
This is another fart joke.
I knew that part, Rob, when you said the thing about farts is. Oh, did you actually have one?
I was joking. You're just like, oh, I got one more. This is an old one. It's still farts.
Okay. When I was working at Trader Joe's, sometimes people would have ready-made salads, and I would offer them a fork that we had at the register. And one time I said, a guy bought a ready-made salad, and I said, hey, man, do you want a fork? And he went, no, thank you. I have forks at home. And why that guy laughed that way haunts me to this day. Because I'm like, what did he think that I was? Was he bragging? Was he the Duke of Forks? And I should have known that. I don't know what it was, but I just can't imagine why somebody would laugh like that.
That's so funny. I like to imagine that this guy has been forkless, practically homeless for most of his life. And he has just finally come into some money. He finally got himself set up in like a one bedroom. He finally got himself some forks and spoons. And so now he's like entering society with like, I am one of you. No.
That's really funny.
I have forks. Thank you very much. He doesn't know how to like interact with society yet.
I like the idea. He goes back to his penthouse multi-million-dollar apartment with the Trader Joe's salad, and his wife is there, his stunning trophy wife in this lovely marriage. And he walks in and he's like, honey, you are never going to guess what happened at Trader Joe's. She's like, what? The guy, he offered me a fork like I can't afford to buy a fork in this giant apartment that we own. She's like, what? He's like, I know. Wait, what is it? Do I look like a homeless person or something? Like, why would that happen?
It's just like, wow, fuck with spoons?
Awfully. And then I think like the next time he comes, he's in like a tuxedo. He's like buying a salad. I'll take a salad. You. Thank you.
I'm like, would you like a fork with a salad? And he's like, what the hell? What? No, I have forks at home.
I think he just didn't get that forks were complimentary. And so he's like, oh, you're trying to rip me off? I fucking love you. In this grift.
The old Trader Joe's stoot step. Oh, yeah, I know this one. You sell him a salad, see? And then you offer him a fork. What they don't know is the fork is extra.
May I pitch to you a fourth personality for this man?
Ooh, okay.
Yes, please.
He comes home to his rather squalid apartment, and his poor girlfriend's there, and she's sitting on the floor. There's no furniture, and she's like, "Did you get the forks?" He's like, "No, okay. I have my pride." And she's like, eating with her hands. Why didn't you just get the fork? Why? What difference does it make? They're offering it to you. It's free. I don't take handouts.
Let me tell you something. When my dad was working down at the coal mine, a rich man gave him a fork, and the things that rich man demanded then of my dad, I swore I would never put myself in that position again.
Can we call Rob's character the only ideologically consistent libertarian?
I'll buy a fork from you.
Yeah. If the firefighters come to my house, I turn them away.
Okay, there's a pack of 10 forks available for $8. Oh boy.
That's funny.
All right, I gotta go borrow some money, but I'll be back to buy them forks.
I love all these jokes and I love all these tags. This is great. What a perfect
session. Do it all, Brett. Do it all. One man show. Yeah, I don't know. The guy who didn't want a fork.
The guy who laughed at the offer of a fork. These are all great. I just don't know which one to choose. I'll have to try them all, and then I'll know which one works.
My sensibilities lie in you prep the audience, and you just let them know this is going to be like a 6-minute long saga of you just pitching.
How do I do that?
Yo, this next part's long.
Yeah. Okay. This next. Look, I'm gonna set something up for you, and I'm going to run you through every scenario that I think is possible. And then you just say, here's what happened. This guy came in, blah, 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 blah. Now, and then you just let him know. You're like, it could be this guy, or maybe it's this guy, or maybe
it's
this guy.
Because this did happen like 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's probably even longer than that. It's probably like 7 years ago. The fact that it's still with me, I could have thought of all of these scenarios.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that. I could be like, that's happened 7 years ago. I still have no idea why he laughed, but here are some ideas.
Yeah, and like if there's just a giggly crowd, like why wouldn't they enjoy it the way we just enjoyed it, where you just run through in great detail every scenario that you think this could be, as long as it's all like painted nicely and you're just like, oh, it's this guy, you know?
Maybe I'll get a wheel on stage and I'll be like, all right, I'm about to do the fork bit, guys. So I'll just tell you which scenario.
This isn't really your style, but the way like maybe, I don't know, like a British kind of alti comedian, I don't know why I envision it in my head, would just be to like do the bit, the joke that you do, and then have like this like sort of entropy like mental breakdown over like what could it be, and you go through all the scenarios and then you pick one to end on that makes you happy or whatever, and you're like, oh, it's just that he lives in squat, that must be it, and like you add this like storyline through you, it's been haunting you for years clearly.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
I think you should do one version and then do the exact same setup, like you didn't do that joke again, and then do the second version. And then do the exact same setup a third time, and then do a third version. So that the setup becomes part of what's funny, where people realize that you're repeating yourself. I don't really think you should do that, but I like that idea.
Really? I like that. If there was like an alt show that I could try that out on, mm-hmm. I would love that.
You know, I think that audiences are a lot more, you know, bendable to all these types of things, and if you feel it out. I love the idea of it being a runner. And
are you saying, Jared, do it that in a row, or are you saying that do that throughout the set?
No, throughout
the set. Either one. I think in a row is funny.
Oh, interesting.
But it could work as a runner also.
I was thinking as a runner. I was thinking too that you don't even have to like reset everything back up. You could just kind of, you know, at any lull, you could just chime back in with the like with that.
Yeah.
I don't even need the setup. Yeah. I could just go. Mm-hmm. Like, or maybe.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Fun too.
That's a great, that would be really fun.
You know, it's interesting, Radu, when I was going to chime this in earlier on during our catch up, when you were talking about headlining, one of the things that I really enjoyed when I felt like I was comfortable headlining was the concept of the pacing is something that I can decide a lot. Like, you know, doing 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15, even 30, I'm kind of like, well, I have an obligation to do my jokes. But when I am the headliner, the show, it's not just that I'm doing 45 or 50 minutes or an hour. It's also that, like, I'm allowed to set whatever pace I want. And I think people more generally go with it where they're just like, yeah, he's doing his thing. If he's going to hit us with like 15 minutes of straight jokes, that's fine. He's going to take a 2 minute like lull break to just kind of vibe out, chill, talk to us. That's cool. And I loved that freedom where I'm like, I can just have a little, here's a little 10 minute portion and 15 minutes of this. And I'm going to talk to the audience for a while, for like a long time. And then I'm just going to come right back again. Like, it never feels like we have to get back to something. And so, yeah, when you're headlining and you have like weird bits like this or whatever, you can, I think it's doors open. You can try so many things and it's really quite fun. Throw that in there.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dope as hell.
All right.
All right. So anything left for Brett, everybody?
I'm good. Excellent stuff.
Great.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Excellent bits. Excellent bits, Brett. All right. Next up, we got Jared Bernstein.
Hey.
Jared Bernstein.
Okay. Meow. This is an extremely silly bit. It's pretty dumb. So strap in, everybody.
Is it dumb,
you ready?
Or is it silly?
It's both. Oh, great. Those aren't mutually exclusive. They can't.
I don't know. I don't
know. Okay.
It's about
you ready?
Intent.
Here we go. I just got back from the road. While I was on the road, I ate at a restaurant called Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill. That's the name of the restaurant. It's called Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill. And when I heard that this restaurant existed, this restaurant whose name is a sentence, I became so irrationally infuriated at it. Because also, the name of the restaurant is a sentence that starts with a possessive pronoun. So it makes it sound like Toby Keith owns the sentence, I love this bar and grill. And I don't hate it just because it's a dumb name that's extremely awkward to say, but also because I started empathizing with the poor PR company that had to meet with Toby Keith to figure out a name for his restaurant. And Toby Keith was like, I have this song called I Love This Bar. So what if we called my restaurant I Love This Bar and Grill? And everyone's like, but the bar and grill doesn't exist yet. It's impossible for you to love a thing that doesn't exist yet, because in order for you to know that you love it, you have had to have experienced it, and you can't experience it yet because it doesn't exist. And he's like, yeah. And they're like, okay. So it's like everybody who eats there says, I love this bar and grill. And Toby Keith is like, I don't give a fuck if anybody else loves this bar and grill. I want people to know that I love this bar and grill. And they're like, okay, so how about Toby Keith says, I love this bar and grill, or we put in quotes, I love this bar and grill, and underneath we put a dash and your name so people know that you said it. And he's like, that's great. But I also want people to know that I own this bar and grill. I'm Toby Keith and I own and love this bar and grill. I also hate how cocky Toby Keith was to make it a bar and grill. Like, if you wanted to own a place with his name of his song on it, why not just start with a bar? Mm-hmm. Toby Keith's I love this bar, because that's the name of the song. And then if it worked out, then you can add the grill later, you know? Or how, and who knows, maybe eventually Toby Keith's I love this bar and grill and vegan omelet station. I got so mad that it made me want to open a rival restaurant with an even longer name. Like Jarrett Berenstein's, I'm a huge fan of the sit-down chain restaurant that has lots of salad options and doesn't mind if you make substitutions.com. All right, that's my extremely silly long bit about Toby Keith's I love this bar and grill.
Very lovely. Funny.
Lovely.
I like it. I would like for you to get into a joke a little bit quicker there. Is there another artist that
you say you say quicker as though there were any in this bit?
Yeah, I mean soon is what I meant, because it hasn't happened yet.
One day would be nice.
Is there another artist that has a song name that you could do?
That could be a restaurant. Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll look that up.
Little John's Windows and Walls.
And grill.
What if Toby Keith, because at some point the producer or the publicist asks, like, how do you love something you haven't experienced yet? And then Toby Keith becomes very wise. It's like, what about the love of an unborn child? Something like, just like something very esoteric. And they're like, oh, is that what you're going for? Because there's a better way to get this across. He's like, what about the love of a country that hasn't yet won its sovereignty?
I've never seen the face of God, but I love him all the same.
Yeah. Like, think about the Kurdish people.
Well, your Toby Keith is a lot like George W. Bush. Right here. I also like an unborn child, because then you could be like, but then, you know, things didn't work out. My partner's bailed, but I couldn't abort my restaurant.
Yeah.
You know,
I ain't going to abort a restaurant.
It's in its fetal stage. We can't just get rid of it.
I had a very nitpicky thing about, you said that it was a possessive pronoun, but that's not a pronoun. It's a possessive.
Oh, you're right. Proper noun is what I meant to say. Yeah. I actually had it written as proper noun, and I just said it incorrectly.
Yeah, I just
shortened
it.
All right, well, I guess I'll screen share so you guys can see.
What if, okay, what about, so what if the option is that Toby Keith's...
look at this.
You typed that in.
Look at this.
Yeah.
When did I type that in? You just told me. There you go, possessive proper noun.
Wow.
So you can't read? Is that what you're doing?
Great at grammar, illiterate. If there's multiple other franchises within the Toby Keith brand, and he's like, we're starting the Toby Keith hedge fund to make money and shit. We've got the Toby Keith hospital for the
blind. I love this hedge fund.
I love this bar and hedge fund.
I had a different thought where his song is just called I Love This Bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the fact that he added "and grill" makes me think that, like, he could have just added anything if he's just gonna fuck with the name of the song. He could have been like, "I love this barbecue," or "I love bar class."
I love this bartender certification academy.
I love this bar. I'm talking about the Florida State Bar. I have a law school. Toby Keith, I love this law school.
I love this bar.
Oh, wait, Rob, I actually wrote this other thing that I forgot to say in the joke. Also,
oh, look at that. That was already in there. You can't, well, you really can't read if you're. You missed all that.
It was in bold, dude. I missed it somehow.
Maybe he's blind.
So, not to be a downer, but you should give a listen to Kyle Kinane's bit about Toby Keith.
Oh, no. Exactly the same, because we're both equally geniuses.
This probably has jokes in it.
Oh, yeah, probably. That makes more sense.
He does have like a 3 or 4 minute bit on it. Different angles, from what I remember. But
different angles?
Yeah, but always a good listen through, especially when you're like, we're going for this really niche kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucks when you have a nice niche idea, because it feels like if one person did it, it's over. But you can be like, I've got this great thing about marriage. And everyone's like, fucking swing away. I don't care.
I had this idea about like someone taking my wife, like, please or something.
Guys, I had this idea. Tell me, does anybody else have a bit about Star Wars?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Make sure there's no cross guards there. But it's such a silly idea. I just was like, wanted to see what you guys thought about it.
I really like.
Yeah. So add jokes. That seems to be the big criticism.
I don't forget if you said this, but I was thinking as you were saying it, where it's like, couldn't it be, quote, I love this bar and grill, quote, Toby Keith.
Oh, yeah. I had the PR people say that.
Yeah, so you said that. And then I was wondering if he was going to counter with, could we call it Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill, quotes? And then that way I own it, and I said,
do you think he started that meeting with, all right, everybody, welcome to Toby Keith's meeting about what to call my restaurant?
What if it's Toby Keith's I Love This Bar - Toby Keith and Grill? Because he never said and grill.
That's right, because the song is just called I Love This Bar. Toby Keith's I Love This Bar. Toby Keith. Angro.
What happens when Toby Keith buys Ruth's Chris Steakhouse? I mean, is it just going to be Toby Keith's Ruth's Chris
It's a run-on
steakhouse?
Sentence, yeah.
Ooh, like that.
But what if he gets indignant about the fact that people show up trying to do like interact with his other material? They're like, is there beer for my horses here? He's like, get out! Get the fuck out!
Did you know that already? Did you have to Google that, Radu?
I live in Texas.
Okay, enough said. Enough said. You could have said anything and I would have believed it was a Toby Keith song.
No,
I didn't even know that I Love This Bar was a Toby Keith song. I was Googling it today to make sure that I didn't have any dumb things in there. And I was like, oh, it's based off of a song that he has. I should probably include that.
I didn't know it was a song. I didn't know Toby Keith was a person. I learned all of this just now.
You should watch, what's his name? Greg Giraldo roast him. I think on the William Shatner. It's the funniest single roast joke I've ever seen in my life.
But Toby Keith is on the roast of William Shatner.
It's either Shatner or one of them. But the Giraldo joke, I can't even. I won't even try to butcher it because it's long. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read some song titles here that could easily fit into this bit. After his pitch, people were like, "You should have been a cowboy." And then at the meeting, they're like, "Well, what if it doesn't say your name on it?" And he's like, "I want to talk about me."
Why are so many Toby Keith songs full sentences? I mean, that's not normal, right?
Because his audience is illiterate. Have to guide them to what you're esoterically saying.
He also has a song called "The Taliban Song," which I think is probably harder to market as a restaurant.
That it's not the angle you think. Merle Haggard's on that one.
Yeah, why didn't he just call it the Taliban Song and Grill? Toby Keith's the Taliban Song and Grill. All right. I'll do some Googling, I'll do some watching. Thank you everybody for the punch ups, for the suggestions. Anything else for this?
If Lil Jon opened up restaurants, it would always be Lil Jon's Bar and Grills.
Hey!
And Grills.
All right, next up we got Radu Bundar.
It was great, Rob. It was great.
Hey now, boys.
But before we get to Radu, just want to remind everybody to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITAPod. A lot of awesome exclusive content on there. If you don't want an extra content, but you just want to support Is This Anything because you love it as a podcast, you can do that too. But if you want something for that cashish, we got so many cool episodes on there. We just dropped an Is This Anything at the Movies, where we talked about films that we enjoy and that we don't enjoy. We talked about at least one movie that I did not like. And now, Radu Bundar.
Hey.
All right. I brought two bits. I brought a real one and a fake one.
don't tell us which one's which.
Yeah, we gotta figure out which one the fake one is.
Well, I don't know. The fake one, it's not ready to do on stage. It's very fresh. It's a new whatever thing. And then the real one is, some of you may know, we've done stand up together. I have mostly abrasive material and I'm always trying to write more shit like a family would listen to and not vomit. And so I'm going to start with that one. And they're all both short. But you know, everyone says that drunk driving is this awful thing. There's all kinds of there's even institutions like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, but I think they're all kind of bullshitting. They're all sort of lying because no one's ever willing to do the real thing. Like Mothers Against Drunk Driving has done everything they possibly can to make it harder to drive while drunk, except for the fact that we could just all have those interlocks in our cars. You know, they give them to you like after you get a DUI. Every car should just come with one. Because our policy is basically like, oh, you could drink and drive if you get away with it. It's just these people that are bad at it that we put in the fucking system. We have seat belts and other shit that the car won't work without. Why does it have the option to even operate drunk? I think That's a funny. Forklift should have a breathalyzer on it. Like, everything should have a breathalyzer.
That's funny.
Oh, that's great.
I love that. Interlock is the only word that I wasn't immediately picking up on.
Oh, you don't have a DUI.
Yeah.
This isn't if you're doing it in Texas, you'll be fine, everybody.
Yeah, it's going to applause breaks.
It's a super funny premise. I love that. I would love it if you compromise in the middle that not necessarily like it doesn't work. if you are drunk, but it just like does the same thing. If you're going to use a seatbelt analogy, like it does the same thing where it just like annoyingly beeps, where it's like beep, 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 but it would be something different, obviously.
That's fun. Like, no, it's like, okay, you can drive it drunk, but it's going to be harder.
Yeah, it's going to, what's the most annoying thing that could happen to you while you're drunk?
It'd be harder to drive drunk still.
No, but
it's already
pretty
hard. It's like, oh, God, I'm beeping.
If you don't use the breathalyzer, your car will like will just turn the flashers on, like left, right, left, right. This whenever you're driving, to alert everyone that this guy wouldn't want to blow.
What is the worst thing that you could hear in a car while you were drunk? Like, what's the worst thing a person could do to you? What don't you want to happen while you're drunk?
Hey, you're getting pulled over.
Oh yeah, the sound of it is actual cop sirens. Oh,
God, yeah. Like red and blue lights swirling around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh no.
Oh, I mean, or the sound of a kid dying. I don't know. Whatever.
Worse for that. What's the sound of you running over a kid because you're drunk?
Oh fuck, that was fast.
Until you get, I mean, that would backfire because then you would just get used to it and then you would start running over kids and have no idea.
That's so fucking fun.
I like two things. Number one, mm-hmm. I want more things that you want a breathalyzer on. Like, why don't we have breathalyzers on scalpels?
Every operating room, you should have to blow.
Yeah, exactly.
And
why not?
And none of that, you can blow like a 0.01 thing, like clean.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta be zero. And number two, in Texas, do they have designated blowers instead of designated drivers, which is like one dude who blows into everybody's breathalyzer so that everybody can drive home drunk afterwards?
That would be a job. That's a funny angle. Like, we're creating jobs here. There's just some guy that sucks everyone's car.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too, but my visual was like, you know, everyone kind of pours out of the bar and then it's just this game of like who can actually get the car started. It's just like a line of 50 guys like, I can do it. Come here. It becomes like a carnival game. I love that concept. It's great. You're right. The fact that we're not doing anything that's preventative, we are just doing something that's punitive. And we're not really like, we're not stopping the car accidents. We're just kind of putting people into the system.
It's almost like it's a good business or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say if you want to make it more relatable, let's find something that, what is the, from an annoyance aspect, when do you most not want a drunk guy around? Like for me, it's probably on the merch line. Like sure. I would be like, you should have to have a breathalyzer before you can get on the merch line or something
like
that.
Funny. Oh, but
it's something that's
be from safety. It should just be.
No,
from,
no, just yeah. Then you'll get the, if you could find something that everybody hates about a drunk guy, then you can, then you'll have like a really relatable way to button that, okay. That bit.
Yeah.
Teachers' rooms should have breathalyzers.
Like what did you say? What was it?
A teacher's classroom should have a breathalyzer.
I think every microphone should have a breathalyzer. Or like certainly,
that's a fun one. Like,
What's going on?
I think the only things that shouldn't have breathalyzers on them are the microphones at karaoke bars, because then karaoke bars would go bankrupt.
And the microphones in the baseball announcer's box. That guy's got to be drunk. That's the
I was going to say, and condoms. Because if you're drunk and you can't get into your condom because you're drunk, you're just going to have unprotected sex, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a way to make that funny, but that was what I was thinking. Like, oh, because then if you're drunk, then you can't have sex. But then I was like, no, people would just raw dog then.
Yeah, that's
you got to put it. You got to put
a drunk
breast
condom.
What is it called? An interlock? You got to put an interlock on ladies' vaginas.
There you go.
That's pro consent. That bit.
Yeah. Before you suck, you got to blow.
Before you suck her pussy.
That's how fellatio. That's how cunnilingus works, right?
You I'm suck a on the man pussy. Myself. That's all I do down there. I'm like a barnacle. This is no longer part of the bit. And do you guys want to do the other one? I feel like
all right,
the
so
other
this
one
was
has
the fake bit, right? That was
the fake. I mean, it's just a reflection. It's a horrible, very abrasive thing, more in line with my other comedy.
Ooh, it's going to be about like sandpaper.
Yes. Yeah. It's a texture joke.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know if you guys saw on the news, there was a big, it was trending on Twitter for a while. There's a big kerfuffle about a school district in Texas that got in some hot water when a school administrator said, enforcing a new law that was passed, hey, if you're going to have books about the Holocaust in your classroom, you also have to have books presenting an alternative opinion.
Oh, yeah, I did hear this.
Now, the quick, you know, like Johnny Carson, like monologue joke, I was like, oh, we're getting Farrakhan back in schools? But no. I think what makes this so difficult is, even if you're going to take it at face value, there is not a galvanized alternative opinion on the Holocaust. That's the whole thing about deniers. They can't even agree.
Good point.
So what book are you, what are you bringing in there? They're all just trying to count different shit. And this is a, I don't know, sort of a tag or something, but this is what I find weird about Holocaust deniers. They all also love Hitler. And that's like his big thing. I don't get how you can like a person, but just try to like remove their, that's like if I loved Michael Jordan, I was like, I don't give a shit about all that basketball stuff. Have you seen Space Jam? That is my horribly offensive, not really well contained thing.
I think it's great, actually. It's like,
I think the hot topic or the current event aspect is unnecessary for you to get into the bit.
Yeah.
Or it could at least be shortened up.
I mean, but it's like literally, it was like 2 days, maybe 3 days ago. That's
oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you can, you could use it, you know, if you have any shows coming up in the next couple of weeks, then use that as a segue. But unnecessary. I think the bit is very funny. The fact that that Holocaust deniers love Hitler is, that's the meat of the bit. And I think that's very funny just on its own.
Mm-hmm. I love that concept so much. I'm trying to think of like other just ways in order to hit it, because it's so rich, where you're like, you know who would never deny the Holocaust? He was pretty proud of his work.
Yeah, remember his last words were, if I'm remembered for one thing.
I also like working up to somebody who's like clearly a fan of Hitler but also a Holocaust denier. It's like, then why do you like him? It's just like, he united Germany. He invaded France. That's great.
That was so he had that cool mustache. That was so cool.
Mm-hmm, he stole mm-hmm. Charlie Chaplin's mustache.
Nazi gold. That's cool. Wait, I like that. Wait.
Maybe the guy's like, I'm just able to separate the artist from the art. I'm one of those few people that can do that.
Yeah, it is weird. It's like, I don't know, I want to think of more analogies of like, yeah, I really love Woody Allen. Oh, you liked his films? No, just the molestation stuff.
That's how he was. Yeah.
I like that part. That's about it.
Norm,
I guess,
actually,
that's not a one-to-one, but
Norm had a really fun, no, exactly what you did, basically, where he's like, you know, Bill Cosby, he's a big fan, I grew up, I didn't like his stand-up or anything, I just liked how he was. He was a father.
That's great. You remind me of the other Norm MacDonald thing about Cosby, where he's like,
the hypocrite.
No, the biggest, he's like, a comedian friend of mine said, like, you know what the worst part was? The hypocrisy. He's like, I thought the worst part was the raping.
You know which comedian told him that? And then he made the take?
I forget.
Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
Fun little trivia there for no one.
There was one other thing in your bit, though, that didn't get flushed out, which was that there's not one counter arguments to the Holocaust. There's like a whole bunch of them.
Right.
And so it was that part of the joke where I was like, oh, I guess we're going to get some examples. Like, what are the various conspiracy theories, the different flavors of Holocaust denial that exist? You know,
that, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I definitely know a lot about the different flavors of them.
Oh, yeah. Because are there people, because I'm genuinely curious, are there people who just think that it's like less? It's like, there's no more than 600,000
people
dead.
There's a whole
all.
Spectrum. It's like autism. Right. There's people who are like, it never happened. Media, wait, whatever. That's like,
wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. It's like autism. It's autism.
Well, I don't know. That's a lot to put on the autistic
community. Yeah, that's a lot. Because I think it's a spectrum where, like, it goes all the way to, like, they're pooping their pants, they can't take care of themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Hitler's whole thing was he was great at eye contact. So I don't think he... I know. Yeah, that is... I don't know. I always get a... So, like, my... And it's a weird sentence.
He wasn't into trains, though.
Well, yeah. That is the one thing everyone brings up to like even out the train. Well, the trains ran on time, so the autistic Germans were super thrilled.
Yeah. So some people say it was less. Some people say it never happened.
Well, that's yeah. I almost don't want to get in the weeds of it because I know so much about that that I feel like I would just keep
if,
like
if you could yeah. do just that simple, be like they're all over the place. Some people believe it was less. Some people didn't happen. Yeah. Some people believe, and then throw in something that's absolutely like just you've made up.
I don't even have to. The president of Iran did all that. Do you remember Ahmadinejad? He publicly stated like 12 different Holocaust denial and skepticist theory. Just one guy had almost the whole range.
I'm saying you make up something like some people believe Hitler was a bunny rabbit and all the Jews are still alive and they're living on underwater or something like that. Do that and be like, and so you can't include all of them. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying like, give two real examples, give one absolutely wacky example. Oh, and that's why you can't do it because they're not all galvanized.
You know, what you might be able to do to ground it a bit is if you had any examples that directly lined up with other denial things, clearly like, all the Jews were holograms. And it was just the projection of Jews in Auschwitz, whatever, like doing the 9/11 thing, or
that's why it's called the Holocaust.
I heard it wasn't a bunch of different camps; it's just one big long hall. That's the problem. Okay, so this is where my comedic and artistic integrity meet in this weird place.
Yeah,
I feel like I can come up with a bunch of weird pretend Holocaust denial theories. So I use two real ones and the third one, be like, that's why you can't even, because I made up that third one, even though it sounds as real. But then you're actively participating in a little bit in Holocaust denial.
That's fair.
There's like a push-pull thing with these topics where you're like, I don't want to get too creative and artsy with this thing that's very sensitive to many people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I will say the crisis actors back then had to work a lot harder.
That's so funny. No, well, you don't. You see the finished product, like once.
Okay.
You see it in front of hundreds of people. You don't see me like give PTSD to seven people at an open mic when I'm working these things out.
What did you say, lady?
Oh, I said I've never seen that. I've never seen that stop you ever, Radu. Is what I said.
Got it.
And then what did you say, Rob?
Oh, I said the crisis actors back during the Holocaust had to work a lot harder. They had to get very gaunt. Like... you know, those pictures are pretty gruesome. And anyway, they're all crisis actors. We knew that.
I think this is maybe the last sort of detail I have on it. The one thing that, because I have interacted, again, I live in Texas, I've interacted with my fair share of Holocaust deniers. There's some who have a very analytical, whatever, like, look at the populations and this, you couldn't. And then there's other ones who are like, where's all the shoes? And you're like, what did you fucking say? I bought a miniature goat from the guy that had that reaction.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so fucking terrible. That's so awful.
The price of shoes would have plummeted because they would have had so many, they would have been so cheap.
It would have flooded
the market, supply and demand.
I was like, that's literally one of the only things I've seen in the museum. He's like,
There would have had to have been 12 million shoes. That's more than shoes that exist.
I like the Holocaust era that only says things that are very provable. You know? It's like, oh, then where's the refuge state of Israel, huh?
Wouldn't there be some sort of reaction, huh?
Wouldn't there be some like Geneva Convention or?
None of them got on a boat and tried to come to America and then got sent back, huh? Is that what you thought, dummy?
Wouldn't there be a fucking movie, like a list of a thing, huh? Like every year around Christmas, it comes out, wins an Academy Award. Wouldn't that happen?
Also, you're telling me. He killed all those people. What did he do? Did he invent like a gas that he could just like use to kill like a lot of people at once?
Oh, what you telling me that they wouldn't just take some of the genius Nazi scientists and bring them over to America and use them to develop our space program?
I think there'd be camps. There'd be remnants, I'm sure. There'd be camps in Auschwitz. There'd be camps everywhere in Germany.
All right. If the Holocaust really happened, I feel like every Jew that was still alive would be like really upset about it still.
They bring it up. You don't think someone would talk about it?
You don't think there'd be some books written? You don't think?
I tell you what, if it happened to us Italians, we'd be griping them. That's who that character is, the guy who does. I think, or maybe the way to tie it all in together is.
Oh, that's funny.
It is at the end of the day a bit about education, because that's where the problem stems from. So maybe it's like. Even children are like, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
One thing's in our textbooks. The other guy, you just brought the teacher's uncle over to yell at us.
That's really funny. For the portion of what happened in the Holocaust, we'll be reading from our textbook. And for the other view, we will be bringing in whoever. I don't know.
You guys know Jeb from the gas station.
A gas station attendant to explain to you the other views.
All right.
But he can't get into the classroom because of the interlock we installed.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's a... I gotta Venmo you money for that one.
Oh, thank you. I was also thinking
of problem,
about other...
See, I'm supposed to be doing the counter-arguments of the Holocaust down at the kids... school today, but I'm technically not allowed within 30 feet of the school.
That's also very funny.
One other 9/11 tie-in. Maybe the Jews did it? You think maybe? Could have been
that
the Jews.
Is already a very popular one.
Damn it. I can't,
you haven't been
on
4chan outdo... recently, have you?
I can't outdo the crazies.
I know that's the hard that's one the when problem. You try. I 5 years ago I had a bit where I tried to write a new conspiracy theory. I was like, I'm getting nowhere. This is there every day. These kids are out there.
And you're right too. Like people could, if it's crazy enough and good enough, people might just latch onto it. And
I wrote a tweet a while ago. I was like, you know, maybe we would have less conspiracy theories if we just had a better like education system and we just encourage creative writing more. And people could just get that out of their system. And somebody was like, QAnon was started by a failed science fiction writer. And I was like, God damn it.
You're just giving them training for the big leagues.
I guess was my big complaint about conspiracy theories is that they're kind of like a lot of run-on sentences. You know, they don't have tense consistency within, you know, the metaphors are all kind of shoddy and they're always mixed together. Someone should teach these guys how to write better. All right. Anything else for Radu, everybody?
I got something kind of fucked up, but I haven't thought it through yet.
Oh, so like Radu's whole set.
Well, thanks, boys.
So forgive me in advance, but it's like you have a bunch of people making up these stories about these group of people who also just made up a bunch of stories about these other things that never happened. Meaning like... Just a shit.
Their religion.
Religion, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, oh, why are we getting so upset about these people who are rewriting history? They did that. They just did it 5,000 years ago. Or something along those lines. I don't know. Anyway. They're science deniers.
All right. Hey, Bits, Radu. Thank you so much, man.
Hey, thanks.
Next up, I hope
we had some help for stuff.
We got Rob Brian.
Rob Brian.
Yum.
Yum.
Thanks.
Yum.
Rob, you, let's see. Maybe this will be good for people in your neighborhood. There are people who they've never, they're like conservatives out there who never seem to like wrap their minds around what a safe space is. They hate it so much. They're just like, what is that? You know, they can't. And I just thought, like, I need to, like, help them understand that concept. Okay, like, let's imagine you're just, like, with your friends, you know? It's just you and your closest buddies, and you look around, and there's just not a black guy in sight. And you finally are just like, you just say the N-word. Like, nice, and you guys just laugh. That is your... safe space. That is what that when you can give both syllables harder than the last, hard R, you know, and everyone just enjoys it,
that is a safe space. Do you, does that make more, you get it? Okay, you're sitting on your porch, natty ice, just fucking you and the boys, okay? I mean, not a colored man for as far as the eye can see, and you just let it ring out. That is a safe space. Something along those lines, and I can just keep on milking that.
I love that. What if, okay, but you can either start with a hypothetical like you did, okay, or what if they were all just real, like, you're like, you know when you're at the Klan rally, or, all right, maybe not all of you, you know when you're in Nixon's office, and you can just kind of talk like no one's there? Or just like you like find like real salient conservative right. space.
That's
space.
Cool, yeah. Like the, you know, that hot secretary walks in, but you don't stop talking about what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Because she's, you know, like a woman, right?
You know, like on Ben Shapiro's subreddit, we just like really mix it up, and there's no issues, you know.
You know when you're like one kind of like safe? Four threads deep on 4chan, and you're just spewing the most vile, disgusting shit you've ever said. That is a safe space for other people.
Yeah.
Right.
That's yeah. Great. Imagine a world where Michael Richards didn't get in trouble.
You know when you're in your mom's basement / your house?
You know when you keep talking about the good old days? That is, you know. Mm.
Okay, so picture this. You're in the Senate, and it's just you and the other senators. You're letting it rip.
Okay, so, but then I like this joke a lot. What happens when I want to hear this conservative go, or this person go like, oh, that sounds great. Like, I want to hear their reaction to, now that you've explained it. Like,
maybe they're like, well, we didn't see that they were safe because they weren't wearing no uniforms or robes.
Yeah. But how come when I'm in their safe space, I can't say that stuff? You know?
Rob, tell me if you like this framing where you're like, all right, so imagine like you and your buddies are just, you're telling jokes, you're telling like offensive jokes, you know, and you're just having the best time, you know? But then, like, you know, a woman comes in and it's like, oh, now there's only like these jokes that I can tell now. But then like someone who's in a minority comes in and they're like, oh, I can't even tell these jokes now.
Right.
But then those people leave and you got all your jokes back again.
The Mexican leaves.
Yeah.
The Jew leaves. Everyone leaves. And it's just you and your normal friends. And you can just say whatever you want.
That's what a safe space is.
Safe spaces.
You love safe spaces.
You beg for safe spaces.
All right. I wonder if it, because right now we're doing like, okay, it's analogous. So it's your version of a safe space. But what if like, it's like they're just a less evolved safe space. So maybe we can go into an even less evolved safe space for them. So imagine a safe space for an actual, you know, person who's like being, you know, conscious of pronouns and language and stuff like that. And then the next level of de-evolution is now a safe space for this conservative who wants to, you know, be racist and microaggressions, et cetera, et cetera. They want to be okay with all that, sexist jokes. What is the next level that's even lower than that? So where it's like, we're making sexist jokes, and then one guy is like, yeah, yeah, and what if we like slit her neck?
Oh, wow, interesting.
Like maybe maybe you could translate it for that. Like maybe it's like, whoa, dude, too much. Like that's not cool.
Yeah.
Like what is the line for them that's going to be too far where they're like, I don't want that in... I just want to talk about tits and stuff, you know?
That's a great, I think nobody likes pedophiles usually, so.
Right.
If we went that route, go ahead, Radu.
The Klan meeting, not Tim Allen's writer's room.
You hear that, Alan? We're coming for you.
Similar to what Brett is talking about, like, I don't think, even if someone is pretty racist, they still think that we should have things like Mexican food, you know? And so maybe one of those lines is like, yeah, we should get rid of every Taco Bell and stuff like that. And then that's the point where we're like, whoa. Yeah, exactly.
And also, I mean, this is not going to help the bit at all, but philosophically, if they are analogous, it creates a potential problem for safe spaces. You're like, wait a second, are you saying the liberal equivalent of these is...
That's funny. Yeah.
So you either have to maybe correct or address that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because what I allow for safe spaces to be in my mind is like if women
for example, need a spot to go to where they can just sort of, you know, sympathize with each other over the problems of being a woman specifically without having to hear a man's opinion, and things get heated in that space, I don't really mind. And if Black people are just kind of exhausted from living in a world that doesn't feel like their own for whatever reason, is that they're being gifted a normal life by white America, and they want to vent their frustrations, and it's shit that I don't really want to hear because I might be offended. Like, I'm personally, like, again, not, it doesn't help the joke, right? But philosophically, I'm like, no, that is what I am agreeing to. That is what I think is okay, because it's a therapy space. It's a safe space to be a little outlandish. It's us sitting in a room as comics talking about the fucking Holocaust for like 20 minutes straight. And as someone who's not Jewish, but just wants to kind of, you know, tinker around with some of the humor of it, I'm appreciative of you guys allowing me the space to do that. All that stuff I'm totally in favor of philosophically. So yeah, like you're 100% right, but I'm almost like, no, that's part of the point of it, is to allow for that. Mm.
Little tag here, you know, you get through talking about what the safe space is, you know, there's none of this type of people. There's none of this type of people. It's just you and your regular friends, you know, Kentucky.
Oh, that's great. That's a little button. Kentucky is a safe space. There's your safe space.
Yeah. So I still want to hear this person's understanding of it. They're like,
yeah.
Oh, so it's like, so it's like that, but instead of talking about women asking for it, they talk about, like, and then whatever an actual compassionate thing is that they would be able to talk about. Like, their N-word is compassion. I see.
Their N-word is critical race theory.
Yeah.
Critical N-word theory. I get it now.
I actually had, I'm doing this as a joke, but if you want it, you can have this as a tag. Where it's like a conservative guy's like not misunderstood. He's like critical. Of course, I'm always critical of other races.
That ain't no theory, man. It's proven.
Yeah, I'm glad we're doing.
I got a conclusion.
All right. Anything else for Rob? Everybody.
Thank you so much. That was delightful.
Woohoo!
Nothing else. All right. Great job.
Everybody. We're back. We're back, everybody. Mm. And now. It is time for the part of the show where Leedy shows her drawings to us. The drawings that she did during the show. She drew the jokes, and now she's gonna show them to us.
They're so majestic. All right.
Wow, your butt did that, Brett?
Yep.
That's a good beatbox.
Summer 2022.
From that butt.
The poop's going to be great.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Sorry for that awkward pause, whoever's editing this. Here we go. First up, I've got... Nailed it. That's Rob.
That's so cute. I love it.
Thank you.
And that's also how Jared Wood put his windscreen on a microphone.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I remember that.
Then I have... I stole it.
That's such a fun Radu.
Right there. Look at that cheeky face.
That's great.
Then I have, I just wanted you guys to experience the thing I drew of Radu's abortion joke where the timeline is pushed back so that they no longer have to do it.
Oh, okay.
Honey, thank God you miscarried. We can cross it off the list. Then I have.
Wait, go back to that. Oh. Go back to that, Leedy. I think it'd be really funny if it was like number two was like, go to a movie. Like, now we can go to a movie because we did our thing. You know?
So good. Then I have an animation. Rob, I have a question for you. Am I going to want to hear this? All right. Then I have, didn't you work hard to get those? Could you make so much money?
Oh, he's so sad.
That's just Jarrett being really lifted up by his friends.
I love it.
Then I have Toby Keith's The Town.
In a shopping center.
That's great.
The Talabar.
I think about that too. It's like it used to just be like Toby Keith's like Republic of Afghanistan bar and grill. And just gonna take
it over the Taliban. Also, shouldn't it be in Arabic?
I'll fix it later. Then I have. Then he asked me, the Duke of Fork, if I needed a fork.
What are you, the Duke of Forks?
Beatty, a little constructive criticism. Oh, the no. throne should be the Game of Thrones throne, but with forks instead of swords.
Ah, yes.
That's awesome.
Last but not least, I have... Do you need a fork? What? But it dressed so nice. I totally have forks. And that is it for me.
Excellent.
I love it.
Great animation. Great bits.
Oh, man.
Great drums.
LeedyCorbin.com, patreon.com/LeedyCorbin. Radu, thank you so much for joining us. You were awesome, man. We love you. Where can people find you?
Thanks for having me, boys. You can find me at Radu Bondar on most social media stuff. Not going to spell that for you. You got to figure it out.
And, we will put it in the description.
All right. Brett, you said you looked like you were going to say something, Brett.
I did, and then I was like, I don't know what I was going to say.
Okay, I can't thank y'all enough for having me. This was a blast, and it literally...
Yeah, back. I was waiting for Radu to do more thinking.
I didn't know if I was supposed to plug more shit. I never have anything to plug.
Plug whatever you want, man.
I always plug other people's podcasts. You guys should check out the Problem Attic podcast. It's not mine. It's just a guy in San Antonio. I've only done it once. I will never do it again, probably, but it's,
I love
it's
the
very
name.
Funny. Problem Attic. His name is Zach Dixon. So funny.
Radu, do you have a podcast?
I have a bunch of recordings that I've put out over the last 3 years. No, I have interviews with like Dave Attell and Nikki Glaser and Jeff, like a bunch of people.
Oh.
I don't know what to do with them. I'm sitting on it.
Wait. You said that you've recorded a bunch of episodes of a podcast that you haven't released and you smoke weed?
I know. I don't understand what I'm doing.
All right. Well, if you guys want to buy drugs from Radu, contact him on social media.
Telegram.
No, follow him to find out if he eventually releases his podcast. Radu Bondar, RaduBondar. Wow. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Great episode, everybody. Outro goes here.
Thanks so much for watching. Check back every Monday for new episodes, or you can listen wherever you enjoy podcasts. If you want to help support the show, tell your friends how much you like Is This Anything? Or get involved. Like an episode, share, comment, subscribe. If you want more Is This Anything, you got to join our Patreon at patreon.com/ITAPod. We have a ton of awesome exclusive content on there, and you can join for as little as $1 a month. Check out the links in the description, and hopefully we'll see you next week.